We have some handouts we'll give out momentarily. Thank you. The Lord bless you. The Lord loves you. All is well. Let's look to the Lord. Father, thank you for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, thank you. Use this time together to just kind of facilitate our minds, our spirits, our souls. And oh God, just straighten us out and strengthen us. Give us, Lord God, healing power, and just help us to relish in your word, knowing that your word cannot come back void. And bless every family on the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, bless our church. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Glad to have you. The Lord is good, and he's a stronghold in the time of trouble. Praise God. How many of you were surprised to some degree when I took faith and broke it down to three areas? Have you ever heard that before? Were you here last week? Praise the Lord. Anyway, moving right along, I really want to home in on, because there's more to this than meets the eye. It's more to this than meets the eye. The reason you want to grow in Christ after you get saved in the Word is because everything you will face, amen, is based on where you are spiritually. Are y'all getting this? Everything that comes into your life, you will either handle it or you will not be able to handle it. And I'm not talking about just negative things. I'm talking about things that we naturally get involved in. So that one of the keys is that as we grow in the Word, as we grow in Christ from the point of our salvation, as we keep growing, the tests, the temptations, and all the things that come at us does not have the same power or authority against us, because God has erected a power base inside of us. So Paul says we don't lose hope. You understand? And that's important. We don't faint. We don't faint. We don't give up. We don't throw the towel in. Why don't we do that? Because we have a paraclete on the inside who's holding everything together. Okay, and we're gonna matriculate through this, because one of my concerns is that evangelism, we go and we witness to people, they get saved, but many of them go no further than that, and you cannot tell the difference between them and an unsaved person. And we're gonna hit that as well. So one of the things I want to do is work through this aspect of our faith, and I'll give the handouts out later. I want to handle a lot of this information biblically and in its context, because it's easy for people to talk about faith. It's easy for people to brag about faith. It's easy for people to pull faith out of the sky. But our faith is not just our ability to believe. It's also where we are in Christ. And that will be tested. That will constantly be tested, where we are in Christ, how we see, how we perceive, our perspectives, so forth and so on. So let's turn to begin with in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and thank you for being here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm a stickler for doctrine. So you best believe that when we begin to look at the Word. Now, let me say this to you. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, well, let's pull up the Synoptic Gospels. And the word synoptic means synonymous. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call synoptic gospels. They depict the earthly life of Jesus Christ, his birth, ministry with disciples, his parables, his subsequent death on the cross and resurrection. Those are all in the synoptic gospels. They don't all say the same thing. Matthew's objective is to see Jesus as the King of the Jews. He is the King of the Jews. That's the whole theme to Matthew. So in the genealogy of Matthew, Matthew is out to prove that Jesus has a right to the throne. He is a Jew. He is a pure Jew. And Mary and Joseph both had legal and throne rights from David lineage for their son. So that's Matthew's objective, to prove that he is the King of the Jews. And Mark's objective is to prove that he is the servant of the Lord, and Mark depicts, it only has 16 chapters, it depicts that aspect of Jesus. And then Luke is to prove that he's the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. And Luke has a genealogy of his own. And then, of course, John is not a synoptic gospel. It's by itself. It's separate because John is out to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. So there are seven miracles, seven I Ams in the book of John. Each I Am is out to authenticate that he's God. Only God could do what he did in John. He fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. He multiplied food. So every miracle that is preceded by I Am, he's connecting himself back to the Creator God of Exodus 3. I am, I am, I am. So, and John 20:31, don't turn, says, and there were many other things that Jesus did that are not recorded in this book. Many other signs, many other miracles, but these are recorded that you might believe that he is the Son of God. So that's John's depiction. And John wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation. So one of the things we need to look at after Acts is, and I'm just giving this overview for clarity, Acts is not a doctrinal book. You don't go to Acts to prove doctrines. It's an historical book. The history of the church and Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus in the first chapter, getting ready to leave, and he says it's expedient, and he's telling them to go in Jerusalem and wait. And then you have the historicity of Peter and Paul, and that's all Acts is about. It's about Peter and Paul, the work of Peter and Paul. First Peter, then Paul. Peter's in the first 10 chapters, and Paul is after the first 10 chapters. Paul begins, and the finding of the New Testament churches are in Acts, the history of the churches. So the church at Philippi, they had a council meeting in chapter 15. The church at Philippi is chapter 16, the Philippian jailer. That's when he went to Philippi and started the church. Chapter 17, Mars Hill, has to do with Berea and them. And then 18 is Corinth, 19 and 20 is Ephesus. Thessalonica is 17. So every church in the New Testament was founded in the book of Acts. After Acts, when you get to 1 Corinthians, now you're talking about what we call living epistles. Living epistles are epistles that teach us as saved people how to live. Paul wrote 13, Peter, you have Petron as Peter, Johannon as John, and you have Paulon, that's Paul, then you have some general epistles. So when you begin to look at the New Testament, and I often say this in a dispensational chronological line, the church is from Acts 2 to Revelation 4. That's
That's there so that we can know the will of God for us. All scripture is for our information, but all scripture is not for our participation. Are y'all getting this? God did not ask you to kill a lamb and put blood on your doorposts. The people in the white jackets will come and get you. God didn't ask you to do that. God did not ask you to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year as a male over 12 years of age. All that is law. Are y'all getting this? God did not ask you to participate in the Levitical chapter 11 diet. And people go to chapter 11 and say, see, they weren't allowed to eat swine and they weren't allowed to eat this. Well, when you get to 1 Timothy 6, it says anything you bless in his name, you can eat. So we're free from those dietary laws. And by the way, the Jew in the Old Testament did not only not eat swine, they didn't eat shrimp. I know y'all like shrimp. They didn't eat scallops. They didn't eat lobster. They didn't eat any fish that didn't have fins and all that. So there's a lot in that diet that people don't bring out. So we're not under that. That's for our information. God gave them the Levitical diet as a form, listen to this, of separation from the other nations. Not that something was wrong with the food. Are y'all getting this? So if you have a Super Bowl party and you got some ribs, go on and eat them. You know, so what I'm saying is be careful, because in these last days there is a falling away of doctrine, the faith is falling away of truth, and there's an abstaining from meats and marriage. Two characteristics in the last days. They'll stop eating meats and they'll stop getting married. Both of which God has blessed. Are y'all getting this? I'm a meat and potatoes man. If I go to a seafood restaurant and get something, fine. Once in a while, my fish got to be fried, man. I can't afford it. I ain't fooling no poached fish and fish's eye looking at you and all that kind of stuff. I ain't fooling with that, man. Fried and dyed. You know what I mean? I just don't eat porgies no more. How many of y'all grew up on porgies? That's the poor man's fish, full of bones. My mother, father sitting at the table, all the whole family be eating. We have fish, and I go like this. My mother said, get a piece of bread and get some water and just brush it down, you know, and keep on eating. I will not touch a porgy today. It's just too many bones. All right, so I'm trying to lay out the purpose and reasoning of the Word of God. And what's happening today is people without hermeneutics is taking scripture, mixing it all together, and messing people's theology up. Healing has nothing to do with the confidence of your prayer. Healing is sovereignly done by God. And Paul went to him 3 times, said, can you remove this thorn? He said, no, my grace is sufficient. You got to live with your pain. And my sufficiency is greater than your pain. And then Paul said, I welcome trials and tribulations, that the power of God may rest upon me. That's how persuade, and when I get to intimate faith, we'll see that. Everybody's claiming to have intimate faith. Well, you ain't claiming that when God says no, that you just readily accept it and praise his name anyhow. But anyway, we'll move right along. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we are, start out. And this is a Pauline epistle. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, look at verse 1. Here we go. And I, brethren, he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, not talking to the world, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual people. Now, stop. Look up. The word spiritual has to do with pneumaticos, pneuma, where we get our word pneumonia, breath. I couldn't speak to you as if you were spiritual. That is deep. These people were saved. Paul's already differentiating initial faith from increasing faith. I could not even have a conversation with you. We're on two different wavelengths. The Holy Spirit is not managing your life. And what we gotta be careful of is that when you look at this language, he said, but as unto carnal people that don't allow the Spirit to operate in their lives, even as unto what? Babes in Christ. Paul said, this church of Corinth is a bunch of babies. They're a bunch of babies. And he goes on to establish what a baby does. Now, we know, most of you that have had babies, and those of you that have babies, babies cry. Babies want to be held. Babies want to be rocked. Babies want to be changed. Babies are incapable of taking care of themselves. Right? I was having this conversation. I just find it amazing. When I was growing up, and I remember they used to put babies on their belly to go to sleep. Now the doctor's saying, no, put them on their back. You can believe that if you want, ain't none of us die. But the fact of the matter is that you got to give a lot of attention to a baby. Why? Because a baby cannot do for themselves. That's the metaphor here. When you see people always complaining and crying and having problems with everything, this is not chronological age. You could be 80 and be a babe. Now, Paul further defines this matter of babyhood. I have fed you with milk and not with what? Why can't you give a baby meat? They don't have no teeth. First of all, they don't have no teeth, right? Second of all, their digestive system is not developed to take meat. Are y'all getting this? And so, for hitherto, you're not able to bear it, neither are now you able. Now watch this, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, ye ain't nothing but a baby. Now, Jesus said you're known by the fruit. So this means people that are constantly strife, divisions, envying, they're babies in Christ, right? Isn't that in your text? All right, leave that alone. Now look what Paul says. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, not only are there divisions, these divisions are my favorite preacher. That's a babe. When you're sitting under the word, your objective is to say, God, what are you saying to me? When you start seeing breakdowns of personalities, that's another indication of a babe. Don't get me wrong. We all got favorite people we like to hear, but Paul's driving this baby home. People with a party spirit, and there are people with party spirits, they want you to latch on them for their outgoing personality. And many times, the very ones that are soliciting all that attention will ultimately spiritually hurt you. And the reason they'll hurt you is because they are selfish and self-centered. And they really don't care about you. They care about promoting themselves. Are we getting quiet now? All right. And they have hidden motives as to why they approach you as if they're your friend. All of this goes on in the church. I've seen it all my life. Now, here's the pastor in the pulpit, but you go up to somebody and say, if you have a problem, just call me. Well, God ain't called you to do that. That's that party spirit. Now, watch this now. I'm going to get off it. So Paul goes on to say, verse 9, we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace given. Paul goes to that, and then he says something very interesting, then I'm going to get out of this chapter. If any man, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? The only foundation for the church is Jesus. The only foundation for the church is Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble burns up, gold, precious stones, and gold will not. Every man's work shall be made manifest when God judges. Everybody's work is coming up for the testing by fire, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work remain, which he has built upon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, judgment seat of Christ, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be what? You got to see that. Your works has nothing to do with your salvation. He himself will be saved. He himself will be saved. His works are burned up, but he himself will be saved. All right, here we go. Since we're talking about these three facets of faith, before I give them out my handout, we said initial faith is the groundwork, ground level, and that faith is a faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What Jesus did on the cross, God gave you the faith. First, by grace are ye saved, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And by grace, through faith, and that faith is not yours. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So how we get saved, we have nothing to do with it. There is a repentance to get saved. The word repentance, metanoia, means to turn around, change your direction. In order for me to get saved, in changing my direction, I got to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you went to the grave, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 5, died, was buried, and rose again. Come into my life and save me. I've already repented. I've turned away, and I've turned to God, believing that God died for my sins. Are y'all getting this? That's Romans 4. We dealt with that. That's that initial faith. Are you getting me? Romans rule, 10, 9, and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, believe in thy heart, that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's salvation. You're saved. Are y'all getting this? And Romans 4 says, you're working not for salvation. You're being justified. That's the ground level. It's that faith, the initial faith is that faith in which we need to believe God's report. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you believe that I am who I said I am, you're saved. Thief on the cross, I believe you are the Son of God. When you come to the kingdom, remember me, he's saved. This day, you'll be with me in paradise. We cannot put all this stuff together doctrinally and confuse people. There are people that get saved on their deathbed, then they die. They haven't done one good work. They believe the gospel, and they are shining just as much as you're going to shine in heaven. Are y'all getting this? You can get saved and die. You get all the privileges that everybody else gets when they go to heaven. Now, when the Bema seat happened and he's dealing with works, that's a whole different picture, but the church has not even been taught this stuff. I was telling the church, I had my mother's brother, he smoked all his life. He had cancer of the throat. And my mother said, you need to go. I was pastoring. My mother said, you need to go up there and see. I said, all right. He's at St. Agnes on Broad Street in South Philly. I went up there, and I knew his condition. Any moment, he was gone. And I walked in a room. You know, he drank, partied all his life. I walked in a room, and I said, Unc, you're getting ready to die and go to hell. You need to be saved. Are you willing to receive Jesus Christ? He couldn't even talk. He had two. He said, yes. And I led him to Christ. He died. He's in glory. We can't tamper with that. I don't care how churchy you are. You can't tamper with somebody's salvation. There are people in jail. They've been saved a long time. You understand? And so this initial faith is critical when we send our outreach teams out. And they got tracks, and we bring the people in here in the bus ministry. Our objective is to get them saved. Now, some of them may not have a church home. Some of them may not be sitting under the word. That's a whole nother animal. And so if I'm just initially saved and I get no benefit of growing in the word, here's what I'm subject to do in the initial stage. When I get frustrated living by my feelings, I go back. Go back where? Go back in the world. Go back getting high. Go back drinking. How can they be saved? Well, how can you be saved? You got to understand the theological, what the Bible is saying. Jesus even told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan have desired to sift you, 1 Peter 5:8, like wheat, but I prayed for you. And when you get converted, that word converted doesn't mean saved. Peter was saved. When you grow, when you know, when you glow, when you, amen, are renewed in your mind, feed my sheep. That's what he was saying. Jesus understood the levels of, you know, when I first got saved, I was falling all over the place. I made a lot of mistakes, man. But I wasn't joyful. I was miserable. And the reason you're miserable, because now you got the new nature and you got the old nature, and the new nature is not going to let you enjoy sin. That's really when I stopped sinning, when I couldn't enjoy it no more. No, I'm serious. I used to enjoy sin in the world. Once I got saved, I was still sinning, but I couldn't enjoy it. Wasting my time. All right. Now, so John, let me pull back. So the next level of faith is the fruitful, increasing faith, and we're going to say a lot about that. This is where you're furthering your faith. This is where you're bearing fruit. This is where you're growing in grace. And I don't want to go through all the scriptures, but in Colossians 1:9-13, Paul tells the church at Colossae, like a tree, add on to this. Start out with your virtue, now add on to this. Start out with your faith, now add on to this. There are a lot of scriptures, chapter 12 of Romans, the renewing of your mind, the participle, ing, the renewing of your mind dictates a process. As you stay under this word, the renewing, John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, you're not, look, he didn't say if you continue in my word, you're saved. He didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. He said, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are y'all getting this? So one of the things we got to understand is that in this second facet of being fruitful, God is growing us up, and God is deepening our knowledge. God is walking with us, and we're walking with God, and so forth and so on. I want to hurry up, because whatever level I'm at, Sister Arnold, it affects, first of all, my reasoning, how I think. As I grow in this word, my thinking changes. All right? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. All right, I start thinking different. My relationships are different. Oh, they're getting quiet now, Doc. And this is why when the Bible says, be not unequally yoked, you got to be careful. He's not just talking about unsaved and saved people. That's the immediate context. What unequally yoked means, be careful you're not marrying somebody on a completely different level of spirituality, because it'll affect your relationships. One's living by feelings, the other living by faith. The immediate is saved and unsaved. Darkness and light. Are y'all getting this? So we got to be careful. Don't go into business with somebody that's not saved. Book of Proverbs. You take them at their word if you want. And then if you go into business with somebody that's saved, they should be around the same spiritual level you are. All right, you getting this? In relationships, when I feel that my needs are not being met, when I feel that I'm being ignored, when I feel that when I start my pity parties, you know what I'm saying? Whatever level I'm at in my temperament, in my heart, helps me to sustain through those tough times. Are you getting this? Now listen to Pastor, because this is significant. In the world, I just went out the door, man. You know what I'm saying? I did. I just went out the door. I ain't forward it. But what's wrong? Nothing. I'm out of here. Bye. Gone. And some of us need to stop running. We keep running. Every time things get tough, we want to run. You got to stop somewhere. And you got to put up the tent, and you got to stay there, and you got to fight through your stuff. Uh-oh. Well, my first husband was terrible. My first wife was terrible. Okay. You know, we are imperfect people. We make mistakes. We're messed up. We got history. We got all this other stuff. Okay. I understand. Jesus told a woman at the well, baby, you don't have five husbands. See, what we don't understand, if the Lord does not heal us, it just perpetuates. Doesn't matter who you with, and it's coming out. It doesn't matter. So the fact is, when I hear somebody blaming the other person for all their discomfort, they lying, they hiding something. You probably caused it. Because you are incapable of seeing your own stuff. You don't want to see it. You don't even want to acknowledge it. Let me pause on that one. Baby, we've been married 10 years, and I just need to say this to you. We've had our ups and downs, and a lot of this was me. You ain't gonna hear that. You ain't gonna hear that. Because the other person has already made up their mind. They ain't the problem. So that's why we have counseling, right, Leroy? We have counseling so you can get in a totally objective person
that don't know either of you and weigh what's really being dealt with and said. Some of your problems was in you before you even met your mate. That's where the major problems was. I'm dead serious about it. I've been at this stuff a long time. It's in you. You got baggage you don't want to acknowledge. You got trust issues, abuse issues, angry issues, rejections, abandonment. You came up to hell with that stuff. You had a pretty dress and pretty suit on. Well, you rented your suit. That's a bad omen. You got to take this one back to the store. So the fact is that we keep portraying that we're fine and we're not. And then when it comes out, you trying to sit here from your perspective when you're wrong and figure out what's going on. Can't do it. And the next husband, next wife, they just going to walk out on you. They ain't going to stay there 20 years with you. They're going to spot that in 20 minutes. I'm out of here. And Pastor Gordon's dead, so I'm leaving. Or you're going to have to deal with something with the second one you had to deal with the first one. Like them finding somebody else in the street. And that's going to kill you. Because you blamed everything on the first one. And now you're going to get a dose of something else that you're not equipped to deal with. It all starts in here. It all starts in here. If a man thinketh that he's something when he's nothing, he's deceived. It's not all your children's problem, and they done saw some stuff. It's not all your husband's problem. It's not all your wife's problem. We got to take onus for some of our stuff, man. And then what perpetuates it is that you sit up all night looking at something on TV, that's fake. And then you want to judge your relationship by that. You out of your mind. Oh, they so much in love. We ain't have to deal with you. So I'm telling you, until you are able to put yourself on the altar and confess that you have stuff going on that you need God to heal, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. Now check this out. Well, why did I bring all that up? I'm glad you asked. Because, and I'm coming to the last one, because how we reason, our relationships, our sense of righteousness, our sense of rest, our sense of reassurance is all connected to where I am in Christ. Okay? It's all connected where I am in Christ. If I got a strong relationship with Jesus, you can only tee me off so much. Are you getting this? I got a joy that's going on in the Lord. All right? And so when we, John in 1 John 2 says three classifications of believers, little children, technon is the Greek word. Young men, they have a deep knowledge of the eternal God. They know him. And then, of course, fathers. Children, young men, fathers. 1 John 2. Children, young men, and fathers. Children is initial faith. Young men is increasing faith. And fathers is an intimate faith. For years, I used to say, what differentiates these two? Young men, 1 John 2 says, they're strong in the word. They rebuke Satan. They keep God's commandments. Well, what's the difference between the young man and the father? Well, the young men are strong in the word of God. But the fathers are strong in the God of the word. They have a personal, personal relationship. Personal relationship. Where they're cooking eggs and bacon is talking to Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Personal. See, some of this fluff we do is just for a Bible lesson. Go for the preachers too, and the pastor, you know. Come out and preach a good sermon, or take somebody else's material and use it, or do whatever I'm going to do. And you think, well, this person's deep. Ain't deep. Somebody came to me Monday and said, I check out what you said about the eagle. You were right. I said, so you went on Google to check my message out. So Google now is the thing. And we laughed. But I got a responsibility to do my homework. Can't get up here and tell you that an eagle can fly 10,000 feet and swoop at 200 miles an hour and see a mouse from way up and and got his youngin' on his wings. And I can't do that without research. I got a responsibility as pastor to make sure what I'm saying is factual. I grew up in South Philly. Ain't no eagles in South Philly. Cats, dogs, and roaches. I mean, you know, rats. It ain't no eagles in no South Philly. Pigeons once in a while.
Oh, my goodness.
I was watching Sanford one night, and they said, Fred, your place is so clean. There's no roaches. He said, the rats eat them all up. All right, here we go. So let me, let's get our handouts out. Can I get some help, please? Thank you. And we can, any questions on these three levels? Because we're getting ready to go to the intimate. And we're going to work through this matter of initial and increase. So your children could have initial faith, but they still act like the world. Right? Right? Because we get initial faith by believing in Jesus. All right. Praise God. So real quick, as you get this, I'm going to work through this as expeditiously as possible. And then we're going to settle. So the initial faith is at the top. Oh, y'all got it? Okay, you'll get it. I hope we have enough copies. I guess, yeah. Do we have it for the screen? So the initial faith is faith in the finished work of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. We got that, right? Okay, that's the initial. Jesus is our sin bearer. He died for my sins, right? Look up at the screen, right? That's initial faith. That's initial faith. That's initial faith. The tragedy is if you die with just initial faith, you have died bankrupt. That's the tragedy of initial faith. You're in heaven, but you have not glorified God on the earth. All right, we good? All right, no, you don't have it yet? All right. Well, let's put that, all right, initial. Go to increasing faith real quick, please. Well, look up on the screen. Look up on the screen. Same thing. Same thing. All right. All right. If you don't get a copy, it's not processed cheese. It's all right. We got it on the screen. We got it on the screen. And we'll have copies next week for you. Salvation, sanctification. Being set apart. And Paul says in Romans 6 and 7, no reckon and yield. Make yourself dead to sin. The preposition to, directional. Make yourself dead to sin. That's a growth thing as we grow in the Word. Continuing in the Word, John 8. Growing in grace, 1 Peter 2, desire to sincere, milk of the word, walking in truth, 1 John 1 and 2, okay? And then renewing your mind, Romans 12,
working out your salvation, Philippians 2. He says, work out your soul salvation, for it is God who has worked it in you. Did y'all get that? It's God that gave you the initial faith. Now, you have responsibility to work out what God worked in. Are y'all getting this? Now, I know your favorite TV person you send all the money to don't teach this. You're eating at too many tables. This is good doctrine. This is filet mignon here. Ain't no name it and claim it. Are y'all getting this? It ain't no I went to bed, cut the lights out, and saw a light over all that. No, ain't none of that. Okay? Working out your salvation is a form of sanctification. Reading and studying God's word daily. Psalm 119, Joshua 1, he told Joshua, meditate in my word day and night. What does Psalm 1 say? Everybody look up. What does Psalm 1 say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he doth meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Metaphor, what you can't see when you look at a tree are its roots. The roots are underground and they're deep. They're able to actually stretch out to the water to keep on being renewed. They got access to the water. And when we don't have access into our lives, we're going to fall. We're going to be messed up. All right. Submission and surrender, Philippians 2 and 3. Commitment to our Christ. Attending church, forsake not the gathering yourselves together. God is not about Bedside Baptist Church. Now I know the kids today, the millennials, they have come up under a different, I ain't saying nothing bad about them. They've come up on a different, with all the technology and all the access to internet, cell phones, they were not raised like we were. Would you agree with that? Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
They weren't raised like us. I had no opinions. I had no determinations. None. You see people today, I think communicating is great. See people today and, Johnny, come on in this discussion. We're talking about our vacation. Where would you like to go? Are you kidding me? First of all, we ain't going on vacation. Went to the neighborhood movies, maybe the Fairmount Park. That was it. And so we got to understand, we grew up in a time when we had to go to church. Our parents made us go. So today, all of that's not being done. Kids have a lot of options, and we overindulge them. We buy them too much. We give them too much. And the fact of the matter is that spiritually, we're hurting them. So the commitment to our Christ, attending church, and for the next 3 weeks, I'm starting a dynamic series on worship. Sunday is the avenue of worship. Then the attitude, then the application. We're going to get heavy. It's going to surprise you. Hopefully people stop coming here late after the offering. I think that one's calculated. Anyway, moving right along. Renewal, prayer, gift sharing, peace, rest, trials into triumph, clean through the word, character and integrity, mental and emotional healing, devotions, dependence upon God, a working faith, I was sharing with staff. We had a staff meeting Tuesday. I said, listen, I've been here 30 years. I know that Pentecostal churches, Church of God in Christ,
apostolics and all of them, they tithe to their pastor. I used to have people on Sunday come up to me and give me envelopes that said Pastor Gordon with hundreds of dollars in. I understood what they were doing. I turned the money over to the, you know, finance department because they were taught to tithe into the pastor. Then the pastor pays the bills. He pays. He, you know, I came here, they was going to give me the checkbook. Here, Pastor. I said, I don't want that. You know, we got to, you know, reason being because, you know, if I get a $300 electric bill from South Philly, I might pay two and I'll see you later on the other hundred. So you know, the fact is I don't need to do that. Thank God for Lorna. Light's still on. I'll be on the phone saying, baby, here, excuse me, sir. I'll give you $50. I'll let Ernie bring over 50. We'll give you 50 next week. But the fact of the matter is that when we look at this matter of this increasing of faith, here's the key. Whatever level you're at is going to affect every area of your life. Your relationships, your reasoning, your reassurances, your rejections. And that's why we want everybody to grow so that we're at a state of freedom. That Jesus is in total control. I need not fret. Fret not thyself. Fear not. I'm with you. These are things that will come out as we grow in this word. Now, let's move to the last facet, intimate faith, a devoted life. That means you've passed from the initial to the increasing. Now, when you look at everything under increasing, some of us are still struggling with stuff under the increasing. Submission, surrender. All right. Boy, when I came here 30 years, we had some good, godly people here. But you know what I noticed? Folk had problems with authority. That's a bad problem to have, man. Some lady walked up to me. I just started my pastor. She said, I got grandchildren older than you. And my response was, God bless your grandchildren. I'm the Episcopal's head, baby. Let's get this straight. We ain't going no further with that. Because you're 85, that doesn't give you a carte blanche to tell me what to do. I was 37 years old. You understand? And so people got power with authority. Who do you think he is? Well, who do you think your boss is? You don't say nothing to him. And so the whole thing is, I learned in my home and then in the military how to follow orders. Are y'all getting this? I didn't like every order I got, but I followed it. And God respects that. Amen, amen. Obey them to have a rule over. He respects that on your job and everything else. Correct. I was in a conversation with the mayor tonight. I said, Mr. Mayor, thank you so much. You know, just totally respectful of his position. You understand what I'm trying to say? We had a great conversation. So the thing is that when we get to this intimate level, a close life of accountability. What does that mean? Every morning I have my personal devotions with God. If I get up 2, 3, 4 o'clock, television's off, I'm sitting here with my coffee, I'm talking to my Lord. I even ask God, where is it you would have me to read? I don't tell God, well, I'll be going through Genesis, so meet me in the next chapter. Or my little devotion book. I don't do that. Lord, what is it? And I'll sit there quiet and wait for him to put scripture on my heart. Inevitably, the scripture blows me away. Old, New Testament, whatever. A close life of accountability, devotional, a systematic approach to scripture, self-cleansing, just a yielded life, all right? A life of character. Lord, I need better character in my life. Now, when you get to the intimate stage, you're not begging for the character. You should already have it. Are y'all getting this? Just like I was telling you about them envelopes. I don't need to take no envelopes home. Why? Because in my initial and increasing faith, I learned that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere.
Amen, amen, amen.
Are y'all kidding me?
Yes, sir.
No way. I'd rather steal from you than from God. Wait for you to come to church and try to go in your pocketbook. Let's have altar call. Everybody come up in front. All right, Luther, get the pocketbooks. I'm laughing because I'm from the hood. I done seen all that stuff, man. I done seen it all. Being a party, man, people wore their suedes and leathers and they hung them upstairs and in the party, somebody going out the back door. What kind of mess is this? Are you kidding me? When they first built the gallery, I was on 9th Street. I was down there, nice place down there. And right across the street was Strawbridges or down the street. And it was near Christmas. I walked in there and I seen all this commotion over here. And these two girls, they was fighting, big, big. They fight each other. And the crowd just swarmed to them. And they said, oh, somebody break it up. And they was fighting, man. I looked out the side of my eye. And you know them coat racks? They was going at the door. they must have had 50 furs. Look on the door. And when they got out the door, the girls stopped fighting. And it was obvious they knew each other. I said, you got to be kidding me. Only in America. All right, so that's called a diversionary device. All right, so a life of character, honesty, transparency, love. I'm going to be dealing with love a lot because everybody cannot love. You'll know them by the love they have for one another. We can't love. We can accept people that we feel comfortable with, but the agapeo love is something that many of us didn't grow up with, and we got to learn it.
Amen.
Right? Are y'all with me?
That's right.
Phileo love, Philadelphia, brotherly love, eros, you know, that's all that sexual sensual. Soige is a mother love for the daughter, son. But agape love is foreign to us. That's sacrificing, serving, submitting under any circumstances. That's the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Are y'all getting this? And we got to learn that. So when Paul says to the men, love your wives, Ephesians 5, as Christ loved the church, the logical question is, what did Christ do in loving the church? He gave his life. He sacrificed, he submitted, he served, he died. Are y'all getting this? Wives, submit, subject yourselves to your husband. That's just, you know, and let me say this to you. Whatever God commands us to do, that's what we naturally struggle with. Women struggle with submission, and men struggle with love. That's why God told you to do it. Or he would have said the same thing to both sexes, right? The reason that men have a different list than women have, because God is homing in on what's naturally difficult for them. All of us got Achilles' heels. I know you don't think you have one. You got one. You got an area of weakness that if the Spirit of God don't take control, it'll keep coming out. It'll keep coming out. So, this consistent life, this mature life, when I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a technon, and the scripture is dealing with, let me give you the true definition, he's dealing with the enlightenment of scripture. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We got to put away some things that God is saying, this is childish. You're married, you got kids, you got to pay bills. It's responsibility. It's relationships. You got to love, you got to forgive. You know, there are some things that adults need to do. Embrace each other, accept each other, forgive each other. You know, and all that's part of being a man or a woman. The problem is we got children that are married. So those childlike things keep coming up. And so the word of God will mature you. When I was a child, I understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect come, that which is in part will be done away. The key is this. It's not talking about marriage or relationships. The context is talking about God disclosing truth. But here's what I want you to take away from that. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Put it away. There's some things we got to put away. We got to put away. Put away, put away, put away, put away. So let me go back to this list. I'm almost finished. A mature life, a studying life, a yielded life. What do I mean by a yielded life? All right. Let me throw this out. As crazy as I was in the military in the world, running the streets doing my thing, there's no way I'm going back. You say, well, how can you say that? Let me say it again. There's no way I'm going back. I'm going all the way for Jesus. I might get weak, I might get weary, but my heart, my mind is made up. And when you got a made up mind, God starts opening up doors for you. He can trust you with his glory. He can trust you in trials. I got a made up mind, man. Where am I going to go? I can't enjoy that stuff no more. It ain't in me. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? It ain't in me. So the fact of the matter is, if I'm not at church, I'm usually home. Or in my car going somewhere and coming right back. So the fact of the matter is that God made changes in my life over the years that is totally after him. Totally. I was preaching years ago, and some things I shouldn't have said, but I said it. I was preaching years ago, and I said, if a woman come into my study and just strip naked, I'll tell her, get your clothes on, get out of here. And all the women were looking. I said, no, let me get a better illustration for some crazy come up in there. You know, but my point is, I'm just not into that anymore. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't satisfy. It won't last. Remember, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You got to determine what's going to last. You got to determine futility from fulfillment. Are you getting this? The whole world is empty. Futility is emptiness, but fulfillment is in Christ. It's in Christ. All right, go down the list. A serving life. Uh-oh. There's some fake people come to church because they turn church into entertainment. You throw a dollar in the plate and you see a good show. Somebody grab the mic and sing, and somebody tell a couple jokes. You're going home. A wise walk, a faithful giver, a soul winner, a spirit-filled believer, a growing life, a guided life, a God-glorifying life, a loving life. You will know them by how much love they can push out. And I'm not talking about love your friends, loving your enemies, love everybody. That is indicative of somebody who has reached that level of intimacy with Jesus. Paul was saved 20 years when he made that statement in Philippians 2:20. He said, that I may know him. Gnosko is the Greek word. That I may know Jesus intimately. I know of him. I know about him. I've walked with him, but I want to know him in a whole nother way. Intimately. How do you want to know him, Paul? By the power of his resurrection. Fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed unto his death. Now, preachers and teachers run through that. Here's what Paul was saying. There's three avenues I want to learn. I want to love Jesus by the power of his resurrection. The fact that he got up with all power in his hands. But I also want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. All the sufferings he wanted to do. I want to relate to his sufferings. Lord, have mercy. And then, you know, in the fellowship of sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. Full submission. I keep telling y'all, if they led me to Golgotha, here they go. Look, this is Raymond Gordon. They leading him up. And they put me on a cross, the first nail, and I was God's son, the first nail that went in my hand, I would have looked up and said, send them all to hell. I ain't dying for them. But Jesus, don't laugh at me, you said the same thing. But Jesus died that we may have a right to the tree of life. Initial, increasing, intimate faith. I want to grow to be intimate with Jesus. To give him everything that's bothering me. I want to grow to have rest and peace and joy and power in the Holy Ghost. Any questions? This is our last Sunday on this. Your children may have initial faith. You may have increasing faith and you're looking to have intimate faith. It takes time. It's progressive. I close on this. I went to the hospital see an old lady that was dying. And I walked in and she was in bed. And I had tears in my eyes when I walked in the room. And here's what she said, why are you crying, baby? And I didn't say anything. She said, you ain't crying for me. I'm getting ready to go see my Jesus. My hospital visit, she ministered to me. I didn't minister to her. When they finally told my mother that she had ovarian cancer, and the top surgeon at University of Pennsylvania said, we got it all, and then she came back and said, we didn't get it all, we can't go back in. I watched my mother on the bed, and she said, they gave her 6 months to live. She said, I accept the Lord's will. And I start crying. I went in that frame of mind to just accept the Lord's will. I'd have been in bed, Lord, why didn't you heal me? You got all these no good. But see, the peace of God, listen to Pastor, we're closing. The peace of God doesn't come from within you. The peace of God is an assurance that everything gonna be all right and that God is in full control. Let's stay on our feet tonight. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. If there's somebody here that wants to be saved, to give Jesus your life, raise your hand. Is there one? Or you want to join the church on your Christian experience, love to have you. Raise your hand. Praise God. Come on, darling. Praise Jesus. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Is there another? Praise Jesus. Come here. Is there another? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this lesson on initial, increasing, and intimate faith. Help us to grow in Christ. Help us to display your peace, your power, and just be persuaded that you cannot fail. We give our families over to you. We give our future over to you. We give our fears over to you. We give our frustrations over to you. And we just say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor loves you. See you Sunday. Thank you.